The gospel today, of course, is from the 20th chapter. And this is when the disciples finally set their eyes on Jesus. Well, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Well, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand on his side, I will not believe." Well, a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Oh, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book of John, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. It's the gospel of our Lord. Oh, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, seeing is believing, right? Common phrase. Or another one is, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I never would have believed it. I think you would all probably agree that we put an awful lot of weight on our beliefs, stuff that we see, even today. It kind of makes you appreciate how tough it was for the pioneers back when they were exploring the oceans and so forth. Like our early sailors and explorers, they thought that the earth ended where their sight ended. So they would look over the bow of the boat and look across the ocean, and they'd see where the sky met the water, and that was it. That was the end of the earth. And they kind of figured that if they sailed that far, they'd drop over the end. I mean, it's a true story. They thought the earth was flat. And then Galileo. So they're a very good scientist. I mean, he, in the 1600s, he really ticked off not only his fellow scientists, but also theologians when he came across with this hypothesis that the earth revolved around the sun. Because, you know, if you just stand here and you look, it's not the earth that's moving, right? It's the sun that goes across the sky. Well, from a physical standpoint, you know, that's what they said. It didn't make sense. It was the sun that moved. But then from a theological standpoint, that's when they went to what was written in the Bible. And they pulled up Psalm 93, verse 1. And that says, "Indeed, the world is firmly established. It shall not be moved." But even in our modern times, as we would like to call them, our critical thought of things hasn't changed that much over the years. We still cling to this idea that seeing is believing. But what we have tried to do is to make improvements on how we see. For example, You can't see x-rays, right? And believe me, they're whizzing all over in this room. But if you direct them onto a film, well, then you can see them. And today, we do that kind of stuff all the time when we have x-rays in our doctor's offices. Now, you can't see gluons or prions, subatomic particles. They're smaller than electrons. But we know they exist because we've designed experiments that show that they exist. And, of course, we can measure them. And we're taking that whole deal to a new level by looking for the God particle. I'm sure you've probably heard or seen an article about this for a long time. You know, that one speck of energy that was supposed to be the origin of all creation, everything. Well, the scientists, I don't know how many billions of dollars they put into this project, but they did. They built a Hadron Collider. And this is a massive underground tube that is surrounded with sensors and huge magnets, all designed to detect that particle. No luck yet. Oh, we've even come to appreciate that energy resonates at different frequencies, and that we can use these frequencies in, certainly, medicine, with the new means of imaging of the brain and all parts of the body. And, you know, this is the basis for our MRIs, for our CAT scans, for our PET scans. And then we have also come to appreciate that these frequencies that our brains can't make any sense of, you know, maybe those frequencies are going to lead us to other worlds that are being present right at our fingertips. There could be a world here. Worlds that might allow you to walk through a wall, maybe, like Jesus did. And that's the whole idea that's tied to multiverses and string theory and so forth, which are common theories today. Multiverse, of course, is the universe. Una meaning one, that's ours. But now we're looking at multiverse. So let's stack them like pancakes, and there can be unknown numbers of universes that are stacked on top of each other, all at different frequencies, all occurring at the same time. They're simultaneous. String theory? Well, something like this. I could do that. And there's a hydrogen atom somewhere on the other end of the universe that felt that, because everything has got this special connection. And of course, you know, we base so much of our belief on what we see and some of what we don't see. Just like when we first gazed over the vast expanse of the Atlantic, convinced that it just dropped into space where we quit seeing. And this attitude of seeing and believing hasn't really changed in all these years. But personally, I have to say, as a pastor and as a scientist, I think a great deal of good has come from our strides in seeing, especially in seeing the physical world around us. I mean, it has helped us to understand creation, you know, a whole lot better. But it's also shown us something else, and that is, it's shown us that we are the limiting factor in all of this. We're the limiting factor, the weak link. But I also know if anything has taken a hit, it's our faith in God, because we have yet to find a way to see God. I mean, and that means that between science and God, our faith has become so unbelievably convoluted that we don't even give it serious thought anymore. And that is one of the topics, you know, that one of the things that we kind of talk to our confirmants about, and they've heard this on and off, I'd say, over the last 3 years, science in our everyday world, well, they say that you have to see it to believe it, but you know, faith just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. In order for faith to flourish, there has to be a relationship. And a relationship with God can only be established if you know something about God. And that's precisely what our confirmants have been doing. And that's what we do when we come to worship, you know, on Sundays or Wednesday evenings. We're getting to know God better. We're getting to know the God that we can't see, but we know has got to be here. And finally, we're coming to believe that God himself, God gave himself to Jesus through, gave himself to us through Jesus so that we could better understand him. But now today we read about Thomas, and you know he's got this nickname, Doubting Thomas. Fits him pretty good. Thomas, he said he's not going to believe that Jesus had been resurrected after being crucified and disappeared from the tomb unless he can actually take his finger and stick it right in the hole of one of those nail holes that went through Jesus in his hand. That's what he wants to do, and he wants to do it himself. He doesn't want to watch somebody else do it. He wants to do it. Now, for you and I, you know, that's kind of a, I mean, it seems a little bit, you know, but it's a comfortable idea. I mean, I'd believe it if I could do something like that. Of course, I believe it anyway, but that would certainly do it for me. So, what happened when Thomas made those comments? Well, be careful what you ask for, right? Who comes? Jesus comes right through a wall, stood right before him, and he granted his wish. And Thomas believed. Thomas's criteria to believe were satisfied right at that moment. But now, let's talk a little bit more about you and I in this whole thing. This is where the story becomes a little more personal for you and me in addressing our need to see and our faith in what we can't see. Thomas watched. I mean, this guy watched all these signs and the miracles that Jesus performed all over. He watched Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. But even seeing those things alone wasn't enough to lock in Thomas's belief that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Wasn't enough. He still needed more. And you know, today, we see some pretty wild stuff too. I mean, some pretty wicked stuff that we can't explain. Are we satisfied? But what Thomas needed came in the form of witnessing to Jesus. Witnessing. And that's the place that we're all at today. Now, for Thomas, it was what he saw plus what he had heard and felt that gave him faith. Or in other words, it was what he experienced. But now, what does that say about us? And what does it say for our confirmants today? What about our faith? Well, that's what has made what Jesus has given us all the more critical in creating faith. Okay, so we can't see God, which, by the way, was plan A. And we can't see Jesus or touch his hands or put our fingers on the marks where the nails went through him. Well, that was plan B. But what we can do is we can experience God, his very presence through the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you and I are witnessing and experiencing plan C. Pretty similar to what Thomas was facing. So, we can come to faith, but it will be by viewing or seeing what this Holy Spirit, how it's working in and around us. It's about experience. Now, many of you are probably thinking right away about, the medical miracles and the unexplained sightings of Jesus during near-death experiences, and I have witnessed some of those. All that big unexplainable stuff, you know, the stuff that just goes, whoosh, catches your attention. And it's all really good. Makes a good point. But I also ask that you not overlook something else, and that is the simpler things in life, you know, where the Spirit also has a hand. Those moments of unexplained warmth that you feel, you'll just feel this kind of overcome with comfort or peace. And you can't explain why. It just happens. I mean, I know that it's happened to you. Or maybe it's just compassion. I mean, real compassion, not just feeling sorry for someone. I mean, the stuff that you feel inside, in your gut. Let's say for a group of people in Africa who are starving to death, and it just really bugs you bad. You're never going to meet those people. You don't know them. But right here, it's where it gets you. Or just a strange need that you feel to look someone in the face and just say to them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And that's something that we have all felt. Things that you commonly see all around you, you know, but often fail to regard as a divine act. You know, the simple things. But in all of this, you've got to keep in mind today it's what we experience that matters, seeing God's presence in others. And the best example that I can possibly give, for me personally, is my very presence before you today and any other day, but here, in front of the sanctuary, leading worship. And I've already shared this faith story with the confirmation kids. It's one of the first things that I do when I walk into their class. Told them all about how I came about here. And so they know what I'm talking about. And that's something that I'm going to share with the rest of the congregation, I think, in a couple of weeks. But I can assure all of you, I can promise you, my standing before you was and is an act of God, something that both my wife and I absolutely experienced. And it will be something for you and others to witness as I stand before you, to see for yourselves. And you know, that Spirit is present today in all of our lives. All of our lives. Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now, do you honestly, he could just conjure up a statement like that 2,000 years ago just because? No. I'd like to make one more point. I could bring to you what appears to be a clear glass of water. Looks nice, doesn't it? In fact, Bismarck has been acclaimed for having excellent water. Nice, clear glass of water. And if I told you that drinking this would end your life in a matter of, well, let's say about a half hour, well, would you believe me? I mean, what you see is a clear glass of water, right? Looks good. This looks like something you could drink right down. But could end your life. Now, do you believe me, or do you and avoid the water, or do you believe what you see? And do you drink it? Which would you do? Let's take it one step further. I'll bet that if you watched someone, like me, what if I just stood before you and I poured this thing down and in a matter of a couple of minutes just crumbled right there, dead. Now, would that be all the experience that you would need to see in order to believe? Today, that's what it takes. It takes an experience. I mean, that's a little bit on the outer edge, but it's an experience on belief. Some saw God, some saw Jesus before and after his death. We're the ones to experience him. That's what we're going to be. Which brings me to one more comment. How many times has someone told you that there are no words to explain what they just saw? They'll come to you and go, man, I just can't believe what I saw. I mean, I've got no words to explain to you what I just saw. You've got to go see it for yourself. In fact, you need to experience it to appreciate it. I mean, I've had that happen to me many times. So we have the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's presence. We have the gospel, which we hear, we read, and we have the wonders of a creation that will never fail to leave us in doubt. There is so much to see, and there is so much to experience, especially for you young folk who are just getting started in your journey in faith. It's unbelievable. And we have the great wonders of creation that, of course, are never going to leave us. They'll never leave us in doubt. There's just so much to see. And we have this God who has promised to care for us in every way that you can possibly imagine. So what more could faith possibly need? Amen.